everyone, and welcome back to the Woofing Possum podcast, where this time we're going to be talking all about Crufts. Yes, one of the biggest dog shows in the world, certainly the biggest in the UK, starts this week, so we thought we would give you our thoughts and opinions on it and discuss some of the things that you've talked to us about following our social media posts. So, let's dive in. Okay, folks, so Crufts. By their own statement, apparently the greatest dog show in the world. Now, if you know about Crufts, it's a huge event, and honestly, I could probably talk about it for several hours, which we're not going to do on this podcast. But we are going to kind of dive into some of the aspects of Crufts, and what I'm going to try and do is kind of talk you through my personal views on kind of the good and the bad parts of each of the individual elements that we'll cover. Now, if you're not aware, Crufts takes place in Birmingham in England. It was actually established way back in 1891, but it's been in Birmingham since 1991. And it's just a huge, huge event. Last year in 2023, they welcomed 155,000 attendees to the actual event. And then they also have huge both online and Channel 4 in the UK TV coverage that does highlights, or literally millions of people kind of watch various aspects of Crufts as well. And I am absolutely one of those people. Now, Crufts is run by the Kennel Club here in the UK. And for me, this is kind of where it all starts with my little bit of a love-hate thing that I have with Crufts. Now, when we look at Crufts, there's lots of component parts to it. At its heart, it is a dog show. So this is a breed-specific kind of dog show. So you'll have lots of different categories, all the various breeds of dog that fall into those categories. And they are basically shown and they are judged. And the winners of each breed go on to then the various category winners. And the category winners go into the best of show, which takes place on the final day. Now, that is kind of the first bit I have a massive issue with. So, the Kennel Club, even by their own statements that they actively promote, say that they are the largest organisation in the UK devoted to dog health, welfare and training, and that their objective is to make a positive difference to dogs and their owners. Now, they are a huge organisation and they do absolutely have the power to really make a difference. And Crufts is an absolute testament to that in terms of its coverage, its fan base, its attendance. It's a massive, massive monumental event. And absolutely hats off to the Kennel Club for continuing it and keeping it going and growing it and doing all the things that they've done. But if we keep our focus on the show side of it initially, and again, the reasons where this, for me, out of all the aspects of Crufts, is probably the one that really takes kind of the shine off the entire event. And also, for me personally, kind of takes the shine off the Kennel Club as well. Because I'm not, just for clarity, I'm not against the showing of dogs. For the most part, it's a very enjoyable activity that lots of people do. And it can be fantastic for breeds. It can be fantastic for breeding programs and all the associated aspects of kind of why we love certain dogs and certain breeds. But there's a lot of aspects to it which do kind of really test my kind of tolerance for what I think is acceptable when it comes to some dogs. And sadly, this is where, for me, the Kennel Club did not kind of cover themselves in glory, because they, in my personal opinion, actively contradict their own statement. See, when it comes to showing dogs, every time I either watch the coverage, have been there in person, or been to any other dog show generally where you are looking at quite serious showing competition, the whole premise of it is it's about showing that particular breed at its best. And its best has lots of facets. First and foremost is predominantly the aesthetics, so how the dog looks. And if you listen to commentary at Crufts, if you obviously go to dog shows on a regular basis, you will see there is a lot of, this is how the dog should look. in terms of its muscle mass, its height, its kind of breadth, its movement, its gait, its physical structure. All of this type of stuff are elements that are talked about. Now, they do, interestingly, talk about the history of the dog and what it was bred to actually do. So what was its purpose and what did we spend, you know, multiple generations of breeding to try and achieve with this dog? And then also things like comments about their temperament and what they're good for. And again, this is where I start to really struggle, because every single bit of judge's feedback on any dog that I've known to be shown, the comments are all about the aesthetic. I've never seen any judge's comments about how the breed, sorry, the temperament of that particular dog was, how much of that particular dog's unique temperament reflected the breed as a whole. And again, that's kind of where it starts to get a little bit contradictory for me, because if you are looking to showcase the best of any particular dog and any particular breed, then their physical attributes in terms of their aesthetic is just a really small portion of that, surely. And the other bit that kind of feels a little bit hypocritical is when we're talking about the origin of the dog, what it was bred for, the kind of its working history. And then again, we pop them in show rings and we do not demonstrate any of that ability. We don't showcase any of that kind of attributes for the dogs. We literally walk them around up and down, kind of, you know, and show off the physical attributes of the dog. So again, this kind of doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Why would you talk about the history, the heritage, the purpose of the breed, and then have a dog show that is judging this breed and not actually judge it on any of the things that it's kind of meant to be, you know, genetically engineered to perform? And then we get into the health aspect, and that is for me where it nosedives drastically, and again where I personally find the Kennel Club really don't cover themselves in any glory with this, when for all the breeds that they recognize, they put out there what they believe would be good health testing, what a healthy dog looks like, yet time and time and time again, either at a particular breed level or at a group level or even at a best in show level, we see multiple occurrences of dogs that are physically not well, that they have either genetic ailments, which those breeds might be have a predisposition for, or they've just not been health tested to the level that the Kennel Club say they should be. And this is where the kind of dynamic of showing your dog and becoming, you know, rosette winners and champions, and the direct influence it has on breeding, again, this is where I really, really struggle with it, because when all of that judging is on the aesthetic and they are not looking at the health of the dog, they're not looking at the temperament, they're not looking at its genetic disposition to do the job it was bred to do, and they're purely going off, like I say, an aesthetic look, they're not validating the health testing, and then they're allowing those dogs to be used for breeding, we're actually kind of perpetuating the same problems over and over and over again. And there has been a few controversial dogs over the years. A few years ago, a German Shepherd was one of them. And interestingly enough, the one that caught my eye last year was the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. Now, anyone who knows us knows in the Great Paws household, we love a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. And sadly, they are a breed that does have a lot of genetic health issues. So much so, some countries have gone as far as banning the breeding of them. Yet the winner of the particular group was Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, went on into the best of show, and can't quite remember where they placed now off the top of my head, but anyway, it as a physical, you know, aesthetic specimen of the breed, looked beautiful. He was a young male dog. I think he was around 18 months old. And interestingly, here's a good thing about the Kennel Club. If your dog is part of the Kennel Club database, you can read up about them. So you can learn about their family history, you can learn about their health testing, and you can learn about whether that dog has been used for breeding. And this particular Cavalier King Charles Spaniel had quite a lot. Now, bearing in mind he's 18 months old, interestingly, on his Kennel Club record, there was, I think, only one of, I think, about half a dozen. Don't quote me on that, I'll have to double check. But there was certainly not all of the health tests that the kind of breed standard recommendations say you should do with a dog. There's a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. And this dog had sired, I think, again, I should have really researched this, but I will happily do it and try and pop it in the footnotes. I think it was around 6 or 7 litters. By the age of 18 months, he was not fully health tested, or if he was, it certainly wasn't on the Kennel Club website as part of his record. And again, that just kind of doesn't make sense. When you are an organisation who is devoted to dog health, welfare and training, why are we allowing dogs to go into the show ring who are not passing or not demonstrating evidence of health testing, who are not conforming to the own guidelines and recommendations that this organisation put out, and then actually reward that dog with rosettes and positions and places, which means it's going to become a very desirable dog, and in turn means that the breeding is obviously going to stem from it quite heavily. And this is, for me, again, why the whole dog show aspect of Crufts really, really makes me uncomfortable. Now, I love dogs, and interestingly, I will still watch it. So I will watch it online, I'll watch it on Channel 4, and I will see, you know, which dogs win best of group and which ones go into the final show, and I'll absolutely watch it, of course I will. So I know I'm a little bit of a hypocrite with him saying this as well, because, you know, I could take some kind of moral stand and not watch it and not add to the viewing numbers, but it's hard not to, because it is a fascinating thing to watch. And you get to learn more about different breeds, and you get to see these dogs, and they are absolutely beautiful to look at. So it's a really horrible dilemma that many, many people kind of fall into with Crufts, especially around the showing part, because it's the jewel in the crown, it's the whole purpose behind Crufts in the first instance. Now, that's me having a little bit of a negative rant about it. But as I've mentioned, there is some good parts of that showing. Not only do lots of people devote their lives to it and, you know, take the utmost care of their dogs, kind of to really show off and demonstrate the breed and raise a profile of some of the more vulnerable breeds. And I've seen dogs who genuinely absolutely love running around that show ring. And that's amazing. That's fantastic to see. And like I say, for me, it's just that balance that I think is not quite right when it comes to, honestly, kind of KC dog shows full stop, but certainly amplified when you get to the level of Crufts. And especially when you bear in mind that people travel literally from all over the world to not only watch, but actively compete in the dog show of Crufts. And it also starts to create this almost business-minded part of breeding, because you will see a lot of dogs at Crufts where the owner, or quote-unquote owner, of the dog and the kind of day-to-day caregiver are not one and the same people. Because these dogs become assets. They become financially valuable assets, because if you're winning shows at Crufts and around the world, you become, you know, very, very financially desirable for the person who claims that dog. And if that dog goes on to have litters, again, there's effectively a lot of money to be made in that industry. And this again kind of flies in the face, for me personally, of what the Kennel Club say they're all about. And this is where, again, it just really kind of feels like a bit of a juxtaposition for me of whether I should enjoy it and enjoy seeing these dogs and hopefully watch them enjoy being in the show ring and showing off the kind of, you know, the quote-unquote best of their breed. Or actually, is there a lot of hypocrisy and undercurrent of things that, for me, don't really promote good dog welfare? And if you go and see some of the shows, and I was there last year, and you do see it. Sadly, there is also these dogs who do not enjoy the show experience. It's busy, it's loud, it's crowded. they're kind of shuttled around, kept in their little holding kind of CT pen area, wheeled about in trolleys if they're small enough. It's a very intense experience, and the resiliency you need as a dog to deal with that can be quite a lot. And some dogs do. Some dogs just duck to water, absolutely kind of crack on with it and love it. And however, sadly, if you walk around, you will see lots of dogs that really don't. You know, they do look stressed. They're not comfortable. They're kind of being forced and manipulated into standing positions and moving positions. And it just does not look enjoyable for that dog. And that makes me question, are you showing the dog for the dog, or are you showing the dog for yourself? And again, I think that's where, from a welfare perspective, you kind of start to skirt on that question again. Is that really living up to the values that the Kennel Club apparently pride themselves on? So I think with most people who comment on a social media post, and certainly for myself and certainly a lot of people I talk to, the showing aspect of Crufts, even though it is the whole purpose of Crufts, is actually the one thing that most people really have a problem with. They really struggle with, and the one that for me absolutely kind of really is quite hypocritical and actually perpetuates a lot of the problems that we see in the dog world, especially from an aesthetic chasing desirable element of breeding, and just generally bad breeding in general when it comes to genetic health issues, lack of, you know, kind of using markers like temperament and breed characteristics as a reason to breed. And we do make it all about how they look, and in turn, sadly, how much money that can drive. So let's park that one there. And let's go on to some of the kind of more enjoyable parts of Crufts, the bits that we would kind of really, really like seeing. So as well as obviously seeing the show aspect, the other thing you will also see a lot of is a lot of exhibitions and competition in a variety of, for want of a better description, sports or exhibitions. So we've talked about the dog showing aspect, but you're also going to see agility competition, you're going to see fly ball, you're going to see heel work to music, obedience, rally, working gun dogs, young kennel club, good citizen dog training scheme, which is kennel club kind of training tiered system. Not even diving into that one, that's definitely one from another podcast. But getting to watch those dogs compete in sports that they love and the handlers get massively involved in, again, is fantastic. And again, those dogs at the top of the game, performing at the highest level, and again, enjoying it, is fantastic to watch. Those types of events for me are definitely the ones I want to tune into, and again, want to kind of really have that enjoyment and passion for watching. And I think it opens up a lot of that world to Joe Public, because there's amazing trainers and organisations around the country that specialise in agility and fly ball and heel work to music and obedience and rally training, etc. And that's a fantastic activity to do with your dog. And a lot of dogs will thrive. It will give them some very breed-specific outlets, which are fantastic to help with just general well-being and love of life for those dogs. So getting to showcase it and show it off, again, is absolutely fantastic. And for me, definitely one of the kind of shining parts of the whole Crufts experience. And whether that's watching it in person or watching it online or through the highlight show on Channel 4, yeah, absolutely for me, definitely one of the best bits. Again, with those, don't get me wrong, there's always going to be downsides to those types of sports as well. But for the most part, as an experience, as part of Crufts, I think it's really one of the good ones to have. And I think an aspect of Crufts that kind of goes hand in hand with that as well is you get lots of demonstrations at Crufts. So whether that's in the main arena or whether it's kind of part of the overall kind of showcase at the NEC in Birmingham, getting to see different showcases and demonstrations by lots of different dogs of different disciplines, again, is a fantastic experience. So you will see maybe some of those highly trained assistance dogs showcasing their work, or search and rescue dogs, or kind of police and military dogs and mountain rescue and things like that. So you get to, again, see lots of different dogs performing amazing activities with fantastic handlers. And again, a brilliant way to showcase the amazing talents that our dogs have, kind of whether that's through an official organisation or whether it is, again, just some of the other sports and other activities that are out there. And again, I think that's fantastic for people to watch. I think it's fantastic for people to learn about. And again, it's entertaining. It's fun. It's great to watch those dogs doing those things. And then, kind of tied into a little bit of the exhibition side and a little bit of the show side, is probably one of the kind of, again, one of the better parts of Crufts. Still a few things that do make me kind of cringe a little bit, but they have a fantastic area that's referred to as Discover Dogs. Now, Discover Dogs is always, I think, pretty much everybody's favourite part to walk around, because there are lots of booths with basically every recognised breed that the Kennel Club recognise, which is over 200. So you've got a huge area of the event dedicated to kind of people who have these dogs in their lives or are breeders of these dogs, and they will go and represent their breed and they will take their dogs with them into the Discover Dogs area, so you can actually wander around and see all of these different breeds in real life. And you know, you can meet them, you can talk to the breeders, you can talk to people who live with these dogs day to day. So from an educational perspective, it's phenomenal. There's very few places and times where you're going to be able to look around so many different dog breeds all in a very kind of compact area, and also educate yourself. So, you know, get into grips with, you know, the physicalities of some of these dogs, because you might really look at a certain breed and think that might be a breed that one day you would love to have in your family, but you've never seen them up close. So you get to see them and see the size and how they move and how they act. And like I said, there's going to be breeders and people who have these dogs as part of their families that you can talk to. So you can ask them all the questions that you might have about that particular breed. And you might, hence the name, discover breeds that you've never even heard of or thought about, that you might actually find is amazing and might be, again, a breed that you want to support, whether that's through charity activity or potentially, let's say, even have join your family at some point in the future. So Discover Dogs, again, is a fantastic place to really build that education, and it's a fantastic experience to go along and meet 200 different breeds of dogs. Who's not going to love that? Now, for me, the slight downside of the sour bit of Discover Dogs is it is phenomenally busy. It's always one of the busiest areas in the entire show, which means you've got crowds of people gathering around dogs, interacting with them pretty much non-stop. And the handlers at the individual stands do their level best to rotate the dogs and give them breaks and do all of that fantastic stuff. But it's, again, not uncommon walking around that area to see some dogs who you can just tell have just had a bit enough. You know, their social batteries have run dry, they're a little bit tuckered, and they've still got lots of people want to come and say hello, and they just look a little bit knackered, but they're not able to rest because it's just so busy and so non-stop. So again, kind of seeing little parts like that, again, just kind of make me cringe a little bit. But again, overall as an area, I think it's definitely one of the better parts of the entire show. And I think the last one that we'll cover in this particular podcast is going to be the probably what takes up, in terms of floor space, pretty much nearly all of the show. And that is the kind of shopping, the traders part. So again, if you've never been to Crufts, it's huge. It takes up multiple halls of the NEC, which is the National Exhibition Centre. And it's, until you get there, it's quite hard to really get your head around how big this place is. But you go in and instantly, from the minute you walk in, you just hit with just stalls upon stalls upon stalls with honestly anything canine related that you could possibly think of. There's just so many different things there. So it doesn't matter if you're looking at kind of food and nutrition aspects, whether it's toys, whether it's apparel like clothing or collars or leads, grooming products, holistic treatments, that the list is absolutely endless. And it's amazing to wander around. Again, when it's busy, it can be a nightmare because there's just so many people crowded around so many stalls, kind of navigating your way through it can be a bit of a challenge, and sometimes you might miss the occasional stall that you might have actually wanted to visit without realizing. So it is one of these events where you do kind of have to kind of muscle in and kind of work your way around it, or plan it if you're fortunate enough to have the time to plan before you go. And again, alongside this, you've got charities there, you've got other businesses. There is just so many things that you can look around and explore and get to know a little bit more. And one of the old benefits of this was Crufts was renowned for, honestly, one of the best shopping experiences going, because you would go on to be special offers and product launches and all these kind of things. And you used to get lots of perks for physically being at Crufts. Sadly, that's kind of dwindled away quite a lot now. So certainly last year when I went, every single thing I went to look at, I had a bit of a shopping list. I didn't buy any of them, because when I went round the stalls, there was a couple of things I found happening. One would be that the discounts that were being offered were actually just being offered by the company in general. So you could jump on their website at home, having never attended Crufts, and get the same perk, get the same benefit, which kind of then made me question, why have I travelled several hundred miles to go all the way there when I could have just sat on my armchair and got the same result? And also, quite a lot of stalls will not actually sell items. And this is quite sad, if I'm honest. A lot of stores I visited last year had some great products, but they actually weren't selling them then. They were still pushing you to the website, because for them to sell the wares, they either would need a bigger stand to hold the stock, which they couldn't afford, because the stands for a trader are very expensive, obviously being such a popular show. Or what a few traders shared with me last year was that actually they weren't able to bring their payment processing machines, because the mobile signal is heavily saturated because there's so many people there at once kind of trying to use your SIM card phone signal in these kind of card readers just wasn't working and wasn't reliable, which was obviously upsetting customers. And if you wish to purchase the Wi-Fi as well as your stand, the costs were astronomical for the traders. So they were kind of getting a bit of a double whammy. They were paying, ridiculous fees for an actual stall. And then they were also, if they did want to sell stuff and have reliable data connection for their payment machine, have to then pay more, quite extortionate fees, just to get Wi-Fi. So again, a lot of these traders then moved to more of a promotion model to educate people about their products, and was pushing everybody onto their websites to kind of buy things. So totally understand that, but from a retail shopping experience, that was a bit poor, really, because you want to buy stuff and you want to kind of get involved. But that aside, again, it's phenomenal. It's great to walk around, loads of amazing businesses. And I think the other thing for me, and this is probably just my personal preference, is there's not a lot of thought to where the stands are. Now, this is kind of a bit good and bad, because it means you can wander around and you'll keep coming across different stalls about different products or services, and it's quite nice. You get a novel factor, because I might be talking to an enrichment toy maker on one stand, step to the right, and then I might have a canine massage person, and then I might step to the right again, and then I might have a bespoke collar maker, and then a pet portraits person, and then a food manufacturer, or whatever it might be. So you kind of get this constant variety. However, if you're trying to look for specific products and you don't have a particular retailer in mind, unless you're dedicating a lot of time to walking around the stalls, the chances are you're going to miss people, because they're not really in designated areas. The big dog food manufacturers do have really fancy centralized stands, and they're usually the first ones you see when you go in. But a lot of the other retailers are literally just mixed, all in amongst themselves, all around the shore, which can mean finding them out can be quite difficult unless you specifically know who they are and you look them up and you go to their particular stand. And the other factor is, as well, is I stumbled across a stand last year, which was a brand new business, an amazing product, and they were literally kind of the back end of nowhere, and I literally stumbled upon them by chance. And that made me think it would be, personally, I think it'd be great to have a kind of innovation area. So those businesses that are new, you know, within that first kind of 24 months of startup, can have a dedicated area where people can go and see their latest and greatest products and services or whatever it might be. And I think having that kind of innovation area would be, for me, quite an attractive thing to go to, because you're going to see new stuff, and then you could potentially even, like say, group other areas up, whether that's, you know, apparel, kind of food and nutrition or whatever it might be. And that might make it slightly easier for some people. I think it would probably promote better competition as well, because then you're not getting drawn in by the, you know, those who can afford the really big stands and all the really fancy marketing, and give people a little bit more ease of navigation around the sellers. But it is phenomenal seeing those products and services up close, talking to people, which again is probably one of the best bits of Crufts, bumping into people, chatting to them, whether that be, you know, somebody who's showing their dog, whether it's, you know, like say a stall owner, a trader, whatever they might be, somebody who's taking part in some of the demonstrations, the people at Discover Dogs. Let's be honest, guys, this is a dog lover's heaven. Like, you will not generally be disappointed if you go to Crufts, other than the crowds and the navigation and just the sheer size of it. It's a great place to go to. But like I say, there's lots of parts of it, and lots of people go for lots of different reasons. And for me, the ones that we've talked about towards the end of this podcast are definitely the ones that would draw me back to Crufts to attend in person, or that keep me watching it on the telly. It is absolutely for the love of the dog. And the amazing things that we do for them, and the amazing things that are available for them as well as part of the Crufts showcase. So, a couple of top tips, folks. If you've never been to Crufts, I definitely recommend it. It's an amazing experience, but definitely do your homework. It's a 4-day event, so there's a huge amount to take in. So kind of make a bit of a wish list of the things that you want to see and experience. Have a look at the website, because there is a lot of information on there as well, and it's the schedules of what's on and where, so you can kind of plan your day a little bit. If you wing it, you'll probably not enjoy it as much. But if there are certain events, things that you want to see, places you want to visit, plan it, get yourself there, you'll have an absolutely amazing time. And generally for me, one day is not enough. You need at least two, I think, to really kind of fully experience it and fully enjoy it. But again, pick the days wisely. Weekends are absolutely crazy. The Saturday, Sunday is mental. I went on Saturday last year and it was carnage, if I'm honest. There were so many people. And again, the bustle is fantastic, but there was lots of times you're kind of walking shoulder to shoulder, and that just usually isn't for me. I'm not a big crowds kind of person. So again, bear those types of things in mind, but definitely kind of watch it online, watch the highlight shows on Channel 4, get a feel for it, and kind of, yeah, just enjoy it, because it is, overall, in my opinion, it is a fantastic showcase for the world of dogs. Taking my little rant about the showing of dogs away a little bit, it can be a fantastic place to visit. One final thing before I go. If you are watching some of the shows, particularly the Channel 4 stuff, the highlight stuff, again, like all dog-related things on telly, do your research, do your homework. Some of the things that they talk about, some of the things that they showcase on the highlight show is amazing and brilliant and awesome. But every now and then, there is a bit of rubbish that creeps in. So always definitely do your research when you're kind of watching back at those things. Just because it's a show about dogs doesn't always mean it's the most accurate thing in the world, because it's still got to be entertainment at the end of the day. And sometimes real facts are not as entertaining as some of the stuff that they can put out there. But overall, folks, enjoy the experience. Have a great time if you're going. Enjoy it. Watch it if you haven't before. And educate yourself. Enjoy it. And I'm going to stop there. Thank you so much for listening, folks. Stay tuned. We've got a brilliant episode lined up next, which we will have a fantastic guest joining us. So until then, take care, folks, and we'll see you in the next episode. Hey everyone, thanks again for listening to the Woofin Possum podcast. As always, if you do want to get in touch, you can find us on social media. I'm at Great Paws NE, which is Great Paws NE for Northeast, on both Facebook and Instagram. You can also contact me via my website, which is greatpaws.co.uk. And you can also consume some free online courses at greatpausegang.co.uk. Excellent. Thank you very much, folks, and we will see you soon for our next episode.